Welcome to A Better Way with Crossroads Bible Church. At CBC, we believe growth happens in small groups, and in season two of our podcast, we will be talking about small group leadership. The goal is to provide guidance and support to our leaders so they can welcome others, ask good questions, listen well, and point people to Jesus. And now your host, Britt Owsley.
Welcome back to our podcast. Today we're talking about making room. We're talking about making room in our groups, making room at the church. One of the primary ways of doing that is creating more space in our small groups or creating new small groups. So we're going to be talking about that. And the reason why it's timely is because we're actually starting to get a lot more people at Crossroads. We've got an online form where someone expresses interest in being a part of small groups, and I'm getting hits on that all the time. And we're encountering what I think is a very good problem, where it's like we're starting to run out of room. We need to make more room because we've got people showing up that want to be a part of what we're doing. And we want to create space for them. We want to make room for them to join in groups, make new groups, make places where, you know, I've gotten to be connected. I've gotten to be a part of a church family, and we want to make sure other people can join into that as well. One of my favorite passages for talking about this actually comes from Acts chapter 2. That chapter is really famous because that's Pentecost and the fire and the tongues and just the miracle of the birthday of the church. But then it transitions into a passage talking about how the disciples started getting together house to house. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to prayer, and to the breaking of bread. So they were eating together, they were reading together, they were devoting themselves to the scriptures, they were praying. And then that passage ends with a note about how the Lord was adding to the number day by day those who were being saved. And I love the vision of that passage that, you know, the miracle of the birthday of the church happens, and then immediately everyone gets into small groups. Or it says they were meeting in the temple sometimes in larger groups to worship together, but then they were also meeting house to house. And houses back then, you know, could only fit at most probably 20 people, probably even less than that. So what we're talking about is small groups. One of the first things that happened when the church was born was people got into small groups. So as we are talking about making room, I want to just keep in mind, you know, Pentecost, there was this huge influx of like 3,000 people, but then they started spreading out into Judea and Samaria and Syria and Turkey and Rome. And everywhere people went, they would start gathering people in their home. When there were too many people for one house, they split and they went into new houses and they started bringing in more people. And that's why all of us are in a church, is because enough of those splits have happened. The church has multiplied enough that, you know, we all got to be included as well. But it's just following the basic pattern of the apostles. They had people in their homes. They discipled those people. They started bringing people into their homes, and it became this endless dividing organism that has become the church of billions today.
It's really a sacred privilege that we get to keep participating in that now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important as we begin to talk about that, we don't want to do what I'm sure people may have heard at other churches they've been in, is then we just would say, we need more small group leaders. You can be a small group leader. Kind of think of that poster where Uncle Sam says, yeah. You, and he's got his finger pointed toward you. And we don't want it to be a guilting thing where you feel like you should, because we're really asking, what we're really celebrating is the Spirit is at work in our church. God is bringing people here. He's moving in their hearts. So what we really want is to just ask and to cast a vision for what is God doing in your heart? What is God stirring in you? And if God's stirring something in you, attend to that. And if you're attending to that, as you're attending to that, how does that fit with the groups I'm in? And where's God leading me in? Where's God leading those groups? So that's something that as leaders, we always think about towards our groups and how that is. And as we're also thinking about that, we're thinking about what these new things that God is stirring in me. And I want to not be resistant to that. I want to be participating in that and seeing, and we go through seasons. And so just want to cast that vision of being attentive to what God's doing in you, and that being the impetus to saying, you know, I think God has really been placing this on my heart to meet with these people, and maybe it's a different demographic, or maybe it's a different place or time that you have, or maybe it's a different type of group that you are in, and God's moving you towards that, and be curious about it, because we've talked about curious, ask good questions, and also be willing to step out into that.
Yeah. Like, it just makes me think about Peter didn't start leading churches because he felt like, oh, there's like this need. It's because Jesus called him, right? The desire to lead and the calling up into leadership has to start with, what's God doing? What is Jesus saying to a person in their heart? Mm-hmm. The 12 disciples were called. They started moving in the Spirit and started identifying other people. Like, it makes me think about in Acts 6, you have the 12, but then they identify these seven others that are full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then they start ministering and moving. And it's always God who is the impetus to these kinds of conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that what we're saying is that God is moving at Crossroads. Like, that, we just need to stop and take that in for a minute. Mm-hmm. God really is moving at Crossroads. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing. And I love, Stu, how you just said, you know, pay attention to God is stirring. God is moving, and pay attention to it within your own self. Like, how is God stirring within you? I think it's also another thing to pay attention to is how God is stirring in other people, and paying attention to that. I know one of the ways in which, you know, we had some real success with developing new leaders is by the leader paying attention to what God is doing in their own group. Like, who is God raising up in your group that could become a small group leader? I know we have one women's small group leader who her whole mindset is to constantly be training and preparing and seeing where God is supplying gifts in her group. And so the way she does it, she happens to always have a meal in her small group. And so she starts pretty quickly, a few weeks into the group, saying, hey, would you bring the bread next week? And then, because that's kind of like the easiest ask that she can think of. And then it becomes later, hey, could you bring the salad? And then it's, hey, could you bring the main dish? And then it's, hey, could you actually lead us in our prayer time next week? And then it's, hey, would you start sending out emails to the group? And so she actually has like a legit schedule that's going on in her mind, so that by, you know, like 7 months into the group, 6 or 7 months into the group, she literally is not leading anymore. And she is assigning each week to the group what they're going to be doing the next week. And it supplies so much ownership to the group. It keeps attendance very high in the group because, you know, they're along with a lot of honesty and sharing and listening well, some of those things that our groups really value, along with that, they're really participating. They are growing and learning. They're not just growing in their knowledge of the Bible, which, of course, hopefully they're really doing that, but they're also growing in their ability to love each other well and serve each other well and to realize, oh, I can do this. And so I think one of the ways in which we pay attention to what God is doing is not as passive as we sometimes think it is. Sometimes it's actually very active. Like, mm-hmm. we're putting out like opportunities for people. And then we're, as leaders, really paying attention and prayerfully talking to God about, hey, how are you working in that person's life and in this person's life? What do you want me to notice, God, about, how they are building your kingdom too.
I just thought of another story. I was introduced to a new woman just briefly at, like, you know, one of our get together classes in the summer, but I just felt very drawn to her. She was good friends with another young woman that I've had a relationship with for years and years. And it, this is like an example of that stirring. Like the Lord just kept bringing them to mind to me. And so I initiated, hey, would you guys like to get together for coffee sometime? We did that, enjoyed it. And then like 6 months later, that moved into, hey, there's this journal that like helps you kind of discern and make your way through life. Are you guys interested in like meeting quarterly to talk about that together? And when I suggested the idea, one of them was like, oh my gosh, I think this is what I've like been looking for, but couldn't even name. That's what I want help doing. And then after she started using it, she's like, this is exactly what I was looking for. So that stirring, to connect with future leaders can look a whole bunch of different ways, and let it be creative and interesting, and let yourself be brave to like, just throw it out there and see what happens.
And one thing about this discernment process that I always kind of think about is just that God moves in different ways at different times. And so some people are called to be leaders at some times, and then in others, they're supposed to be resting and like taking a break. And so there's going to be lots of people that kind of do this discernment process and feel, actually, no, I'm not supposed to be leading. But what I love about what y'all have been sharing is like when you kind of see something like that, a spark of God calling somebody to lead, and Dylan, like what you shared with this small group leader who kind of starts to assign and delegate, people that are called to lead often are like motivated by the Spirit to rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. So when you tell the person like, hey, can you bring the salad? They become faithful salad bringers. And then when you tell the person, you know, can you pray for us this week? They think about it. They consider it. They become the person that like really wants to make sure prayer goes well this week. One of the ways actually, when I was first like delegated a job in a small group a long time ago, I was asked to be like the record keeper because they noticed that I was like particularly passionate about interceding for the needs of the group. And I'd come back next week and I'd ask people, because I had written it down, like, how did this turn out? How did that turn out? So they specifically were like, hey, can you write down every time we have a prayer request? And can you like follow up with people? And it was from there that they started having more conversations with me and me discerning like, I want to be in care for the people of the small group, and ultimately was like called into small group leading. I just love that you giving these opportunities, people basically get the chance to shine and show this is something that they're passionate about.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've heard the phrase work yourself out of the job. And I think it's just in contrast, what you're talking about, Britt, just in contrast to the big church with the big pastor, that people look at and they go, oh, he's not preaching today, so I'm not going. If that's our small groups, the small group wouldn't do what it does without you there. That's more where leadership is all concentrated. And you're talking about a model, which I think the early church did model, of yes, there's a leader there, but you're delegating a lot and we're learning together. So that's a very different different place. But it's I think in our culture somewhat too, it's a little scary to delegate sometimes and to have that model mm-hmm. available.
Yeah, one of the things that is I'm thinking about as we're talking about making room for new people, and whether you know you call that splitting your group or whether you call that you know sending two people out to form a new group, like. It would be, I think, wrong for us to talk about this and not name the resistances that we feel to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. It is very natural for us to, once we become part of a community, to feel very attached to the people in that small group and not want to leave them. Mm. For us, in Moms Together, for example, we ask groups to change up every 2 years. And the women have totally fallen in love with each other in 2 years. They've shared their lives together. They've shared the deepest parts of their hearts. And they're just like, you want me to what? Switch groups? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But yet it happens time after time after time after time. Every time, you know, because sometimes it is legitimately time for people to move on to another phase of life. And that actually helps them to move on. But for those who stay and become part of a different group, every time, like legitimately every time, they come back to us and say, I just can't believe it, but this new group that I'm in is just so perfect. Sometimes we really dig in and we're very resistant to change, especially if we're comfortable and we really have found a connection and we really have seen God work. It's almost like we want to hold on to the work that God has done. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to, we're afraid that God might not show up again in a new setting. So I want to hold on to it. But growth really does require us, like this, the way God has designed the church is that the body of Christ comes together and we help each other to grow. And if I stay attached to one particular, you know, small group of people, my formation, my development, my discipleship to Christ is going to be limited because Christ means for me to learn from other people. As we're talking about making room, we do need to name that there are resistances. Mm-hmm. Hey, we've been together for 25 years. I don't want to break up now or whatever. Like, there are real resistances to that. But we also have to say, hey, Christ is moving and he's stirring. And where is he going? And I don't want to miss out on what he has for me next, because I'm trying to hold on to what he's done in the past.
And, you know, sometimes I think staying in a group that you've been in for a long time can be sort of a base camp
mm-hmm.
that you do stay in as right. you explore new options, new relationships, so that you have some kind of a bridge into this new place. But then once you have the new place, you realize, look, these people that you love, you've loved them for a long time, they're not going away. You're not going to have the same routines and rhythms in terms of interacting with one another, but you're still bonded in love. You're still available to each other. And now you have this other rich experience going on in addition to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that a friend said to me years ago is she wrote it in a birthday card. She said, I'd love to think about the fact that in 100 million years, we're still going to be friends.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's one of the things, like, we're so afraid to let go of relationships that are important to us. And I think it's really helpful for us to realize, oh, I'm not letting go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not letting go. Right. I have this because our bond is in Christ.
Yes.
It is eternal.
Yes.
It's for forever.
Yeah.
And that frees us up to say, hey, I want to love other people too.
Mm-hmm. See, what that makes me think about these deep bonds that happen because you were brought into a community where you were connected, you were loved, you grew together in the Lord. I don't want those to be severed just because it's like, oh, well, now everybody in this group, we're going to split up and everybody go start their own groups. That's why I actually like the idea of splitting, or I like to say multiplying, because it's a little bit more positive. You multiply groups rather than just everybody break up. Because you still can have some of those relationships. So let's say that there's couple A and B and C and D that have all been in group for a long time and have had wonderful relationship with one another. Well, if everybody has to go split up, then like, when are you going to see each other? But there could be a discernment process where you decide, like, hey, actually A and C need to go start their own group together while B and D go off. So you're not breaking every relationship, but you still have a core. But now there's room to bring other people into those kind of relationships. Because if somebody walks in the door of the church, has never been a community before, there's people in one of my small groups that have never been in a small group before ours. They've never experienced this kind of connection. If you are experiencing connection with a couple, it can be so wonderful to bring someone fresh into that. And now they get to experience community. Now they get to be transformed by the love of God and the love of the church. And so I always think that when a group is thinking about, like, what is our end time? Do we need to split? Do we need to break up? Do we need to send off one couple or another? I just think that people don't always consider the upsides that are potential to mm-hmm. multiplying, to maybe splitting down the middle. But, you know, there are downsides, too. Like you said, we need to name the resistances. And one of the resistances is that doesn't always go well. Sometimes you split, and then the other group, like, falls apart. There isn't the same kind of call. There isn't the same kind of healthiness of the group or whatever. And so, I mean, it does present a challenge trying to do this. Like, we've talked about before at Crossroads that community can be messy, and especially growing the community can be messy. What if you bring in a visitor who's really weird and kind of messes up the dynamic? I think that's a place where you all get to experience patience and experience love, and that person gets to be loved into being able to form good relationships. But I mean, there will be some messiness in the process of trying to make room for new people.
Yeah, Brett, I think that's why it's so important. We started with the, what is God doing? Because you think about, there's a lot of parallels with what God's calling me in my relationship with Him and in relations in community. When God calls us, we connect. We had no connection before, but when we're connected and we're comfortable, we feel like, okay, we're a Christian now. We feel pretty comfortable, but God's calling me much more. And as I attend to that, then the comfort doesn't become the main thing I'm looking for, or the main thing. Now, to be uncomfortable is very difficult, to step out in something that I don't feel I haven't experienced before, or something new that God is leading me towards. That's can be scary. And but it's the same thing in a group. When we first connect to a group, we get to a new church and we say, I don't know anybody here, and I connect. I'm in this group and I'm in that group. Now I'm connected. I know people. They know me at least a little bit on the surface, and I get that comfort level. But that's not the end of my growth. That's not where I need to stop. And God's calling me to something deeper. So I just think it's real important to acknowledge that, and acknowledge that I'm going to feel that. I'm going to feel that resistance we talked about. And I really need to do, that's why we started with, what is God doing in my heart? And am I really kneeling at the altar of comfort and convenience and fear? You know, or am I really following God? And there's a big continuum on that. Like you said, there's lots of different groups to do that. But I think that's really important, just to recognize that. And in our culture, we like our comfort. Mm-hmm. And it's what we hear all around us. And we're some place where it's comfortable, and where I feel like I belong, and I know where I know where everything is, and there's nothing stretching me. Which is going to be tough.
I can think back to times in my life where the growth that I, you know, have experienced that has helped me so much in my life, that most of the times the seasons of growing started in discomfort. Hmm. And so, you know, we want to avoid discomfort. Like, we hate it. But yet, you know, I can speak for me in saying that, you know, if I had shrunk away from discomfort, I would have shrunk back from the growth that the Lord was trying to give me, that has helped me so much, has been so valuable in my life. Like, I'm so thankful for lessons learned and skills developed and character grown, but they most all started in discomfort.
Yeah, as I've been thinking about this and praying about it, I keep thinking about the word alignment. And I keep thinking about how we have staff, full-time staff, we have elders, like, they're all praying about and seeking the Lord about, you know, what is the Lord leading us into? What's the next thing? How do we do that? And so for the rest of us, I think it's really important for us to have a spirit of being curious about that with them, being open to the Lord in that way. And, you know, what is Charlie teaching about? What is the teaching team teaching about on Sunday mornings that has a particular bent to it that you kind of go, like, I really see that as true, but I don't know if I really know how to live that out yet. Like, that's a very natural lead into then doing discipleship with other people, learning how to live the life that the team is leading us into. So my encouragement would be to even sit with the Lord around that and be curious and come and talk to the staff about what that could look like. Like, what new ideas do they have that they would love to try? Could you be a part of that? And also, I would really love for there to be some consideration about your giftings. Like, do you have a pioneer kind of spirit? Are you one of those people that loves to try new things, but you're holding back because you just haven't felt like you've specifically been invited to that? Well, consider this an invitation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm like so hoping really comes alive in this place.
Yeah, that's one thing that I would want to say as the person who's primarily like the coordinator of small groups that are like couples groups and for men's groups, and I'm sure Dylan would say the same thing for women's groups, that we're here for these kinds of things. If there needs to be some sort of group transition, if there's some sort of challenge to making room, if you're going to try multiplying or sending out somebody, like, that is part of why we are here. Like, we've been through that kind of thing before. We've got the time and the resources, and you know, maybe there might be some hard conversations that we could be a part of, but whatever needs to happen, if the Lord is calling you to make room in some way, we're here to help. We're here to support that. So never be reticent to come forward and talk to us and let us know what God's leading you towards, because we want to make it happen. So thank you so much for listening today. We appreciate the leaders that are praying, considering, just thinking about what the Lord's inviting them into. We appreciate you, and we want to celebrate what God's doing here. So the Lord's doing something. I hope our conversation today was beneficial, stirring something up.